Well, you guys may or may not think you know me fairly well, but I'm going to give you some odd facts about me, and maybe you'll know me a little bit better. I actually don't mind to be shocked a little bit. You know that feeling when you're crossing an electric fence and you get shocked by surprise? I kind of like that. It kind of brings you to life. Growing up, my dad found it handy that I was willing to test out the 9-volt batteries, you know, because you can put your tongue on them. And if they sting your tongue, then they work, right? They're still charged. Anybody else try that? Yeah, it works, right? Something else about me is I don't mind being surprised. Like, if you are hiding around a corner, you hop out and you scare me, that jolt, that feeling you get, I like that. So I encourage my kids to do it. I don't mind that feeling. It kind of brings you to life. And something else about me is if I have a quality in myself that needs work on, I want you to get on me to help me fix it. When I was in basketball or in sports, I didn't want a coach to belittle me, but I had no problem with a coach getting on me and telling me to do better, to get better. Why? I want to be better. And the person I want to be better for the most is my Heavenly Father. So it's a little disclaimer when I preach, but it's a reminder for you guys that I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching stuff that I work through. But I will preach it from a point that will spur you to action. The spur is not directed to you, but if the spur hits you, you're within reach. So just remember that. You know, something I like about what we have here, the times of year we get together are enjoyable. But there's a couple that stick in my mind this evening, and it's youth camp and family camp. Now, in youth camp several years ago, I was asked to head up the kitchen. And so my job is to keep 7 bodies moving so they can prepare the food for about 150 people. My job is to make sure everything's in place at a certain time. So I give orders up there. I don't do it in a mean way. We have a great time. What I enjoy so much about that is you get... Where else in the world can you get 8 people together in a kitchen for about a week and there be no fighting? No arguments. Everybody a joyful spirit. You can't find that anywhere outside of Christ. You know what I like about family camp? Is for the last few years, I found a spot at the grill in the morning. You know what I really enjoy about that? I don't have to give any orders. Somebody tells me what to do. But I have a place and I can do it. But you see the importance about the two situations? I'm not trying to build myself up here, but what I'm trying to do is paint a picture for you guys tonight about something about God's plan. Is that one, I was asked to lead, and so I lead. Another, I found a spot where I could help. And you know what I do there? I don't lead because it's not needed. Somebody else has been given that position, and I let them do their job. Now, do I always agree maybe with what they're doing? Maybe that's not the way I do it when I'm up at camp. But you know what? I can learn from others, or I can trust that God has put somebody in a place of leadership for a reason, and I can fall in and help, and I don't have to lead the show. I don't have to insert my opinion. And you know what the Bible calls this? Harmony. In music, what is harmony? When everybody is singing their part. at an equal level, right? Let's turn over to Psalms 133. And Psalms 133, verse 1 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity." And then flip over to Romans chapter 12. If you haven't experienced that time up at camp that I tried to paint for you guys, maybe you can grab hold of some other experience you've had with that with the brethren. But it's a beautiful thing. It is a picture of harmony. And you can grab any of us that have been a part of it, and they're going to give you the same answer. That when brothers work together in unity, it is beautiful. In Romans chapter 12, verse 16, Psalm said something nice to us, but some of us always don't take action with God just saying this is nice. So I threw this one in here for us to realize that it's more than just an idea. In chapter 12, verse 16, it says, "Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimations." When we came to Christ, we agreed to yoke up with him, right? He said, "Take my yoke upon you." See, that yoke was that old-fashioned piece of wood that went over the head of the two ox. And those oxen had to move in sync for the equipment to work correctly. When we yoke up with God, we have to move in sync with his plan. You know what's not in God's plan? When we bite and devour one another. You know what you're doing when you participate in anger towards a brother, in selfishness, when you're not behaving correctly in your role in your family? You know what you're doing to that yoke? You're pulling back on it. What does that do to God's plan? Now, I don't want to be a contributor to slowing down the movement of God. He has a plan, and I want to move in harmony with him. But it takes a lot of self-checking to make sure that we're doing that. Because of some issues related with business, I had to hire a lawyer this year. And I told Emily it's hard to talk to him because he almost pauses for about 3 seconds before he responds. And I found something within myself is I don't let people respond. Now, 3 seconds is a long time when you're talking to somebody. But to be able to hear him have his full thought, which I'm highly interested in, I have to hold my tongue. Now, I've heard there's cultures out there where they actually teach their people to count to three before they respond. But for us, it might be a good practice for us to count a few times before we respond in a situation. Because how often are our feelings correct? Now, there are good feelings, feelings of love, joy, happiness. But when dealing with others, one of the hardest things to do in life is to respond in a good way when things don't go your way. Now, we see that all the time in children, right? They make it obvious when things are not going their way. But I've told my wife for a long time, and because I see it in myself, that adults are just big children. And we throw fits. When people don't respond the way that we're expecting, we throw a fit. That comes out sometimes in anger. It might not come out directly towards a person, but sometimes it shows back up in gossip. And sometimes we have it all wrong. We don't know what they meant. We don't know what they're going through. We don't know the whole story, but we respond because it affects us. You know what that is? That responding in the wrong way? Let me ask you another question first. Money is the root of all evil, right? Wrong. That verse has been misquoted. And fiction repeated often enough in the mind becomes fact. You look that verse up. You go home tonight and look it up. Money is the root of all sorts of evil. But it's not the root of all evil. But I can tell you what is in the root of all evil. Selfishness. And it hits pretty close to home because I've seen a lot of it in the last year. And as I know a lot of our stories have gone, it's been a rough year. But I feel for you guys. But there is so much selfishness wrapped up in what people do in the actions. But that doesn't have a place in God's kingdom. We're supposed to be different from the world. We're supposed to come away from that. Now, we're a group of people, right? On a good day, 150 people. It's going to take time. There's going to be some selfishness. But we can do a lot better to that progress of how we move forward in God's plan on how we respond. Do we take time? Do we even, one of the biggest things that makes me and my wife's relationship work is because when one is weak, the other is strong. And the blessed thing is that has worked out for 12 years now, where when one's weak, the other's strong. Now, we're married to Christ, and the church is his bride, and we need to have this sort of attitude with each other, that if somebody accidentally is having a weak moment, can we stand a little grace and be strong in the moment, or at least give ourselves some time to respond before we go off and do something that's against God's will? I think we can. I think you guys have done it for me before. Like I said, I'm speaking through things that I have worked through myself. So I'm not going to stand up here and tell you guys you ought to fix something that I haven't done. And I had a weak moment. I don't keep track that well, but we'll say a year ago, where I fell to the devil's scheme. And I blew up on somebody that I shouldn't have blown up on because I didn't know the whole story and I didn't give him time to let me. I didn't just go to him and say, this is how I'm feeling. Is this what you really meant? I just took my thoughts of how that made me feel and then let him out. You see, and if I would have went to the person beforehand and just said, this is how I'm feeling about what you said. Is this what you really meant? That could have been worked through, you see. And that would have been a building up, right? Instead of a tearing down. And let's turn over to 1 Peter 4. Because there's something at work behind this all. And like I said, I like a good surprise. I like that feeling I get. And the other day I was coming home from work and I thought nobody knew I was home yet. And I just come in the front door and Emmett pops out. Boo! And he got me good. Really good. I was not expecting it. But why was I able to be surprised? Because I wasn't expecting it. So I want to paint a picture for you guys tonight. So let's read 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. It says, beloved, do not be surprised at the four fiery ordeals among you, which comes upon for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. So it says, do not be surprised when these trials come upon you. You know, and if we compare that to, yeah, it says right here, upon you, for they are a testing for your testing. So we understand that, right? We understand that God sometimes tests us because he's building our character and working us through things and getting us to maybe the qualities we need to do something for him farther down the line. You know, when you're working in sports or something, you don't just become a pro player, you work up to a pro player. When you become a Christian, you don't just get a lot of responsibility, you work up to it. And so sometimes along that line, God's having to shape your character so you're ready for something 5 years down the road. But if you can't handle that, if you can't ever get over that hurdle, then you don't get the job down the road, right? Sometimes people work at Walmart and they stay in the same position their whole life, because they can't ever get over the hurdles that would get them that next position. But sometimes I feel like we get surprised because we're not ready for something. And what that is there is another side to this testing. There's someone else that gets a chance at testing. And if you've ever read the book of Job, you can see that in there, that the devil asked to test Job. And he was granted permission. So the devil can test you also. And the devil wants to test you because he's lost the battle and he understands that and he's angry and he's that roaring lion wanting to devour whoever he can. He'll take you out any way he can get you. And if he can't do that, he'll just put you against each other. So we've seen lately, and I mean, that's some of the fire behind this and why I want to improve myself so much, is I've seen a lot of people go down. In just the last year or two. Some people, they've been around for a while, but there's some people that built my faith that are no longer here. Not in this particular building, but just people I looked up to. People I thought could never fall. And they're not around anymore. And see how important it is to realize the other side of this battle. Who doesn't want us to stand but to fall? Because he'll take you out any way he can get you out. And you might say, well, Job's Old Testament, so let's turn over to Luke 22. It may be that the devil is not allowed to test anymore. And I mean, if you really want to be technical about it, I guess you can still say this is Old Testament. But right on the heels of the New Testament. For some of you that don't understand what I just said there, Christ had not ascended yet. And so that's when the new covenant truly took place. But in Luke 22, verse 31, it says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. And I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail you. When once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Satan asked permission to sift Peter like wheat. God allowed it. Brethren, you can be sifted like wheat from the adversary sometimes. And God may allow it. But I want to hold on to what it said at the end of that verse. It said, once you have been tested, turn and strengthen your brethren. Right? You pair that with James, and it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? We go through these trials to build our character. But why should our character be built? To strengthen our brethren. See, we're talking about two sides tonight, two pitchers. We're talking about a God that has a plan and a devil that has a plan. And we're talking about a building up or a tearing down. You cannot be doing God's plan and tearing down one another. You cannot be doing God's plan and not building up your family. If you are tearing down one another, if you're tearing down your family, if you're not building your wife up, your kids up, you are working in opposition of God. I've gone to work hard on myself because I don't want to ever be found in opposition of God's plan. So do you think God knows how we're doing spiritually, right? Do you think ever Satan notices how you're doing spiritually? You ever notice you're doing really good until you're not? There's a time, maybe 3 years ago now, where I was up about 5 a.m. every morning and I didn't miss my Bible reading for almost a year. I'll be honest with you right now. I find it hard to get that in twice a week. I'm not proud of that, but I'm being real with you tonight because I know every one of you go through struggles that get you off your game. But how do you think the devil got me off that game? Distraction. Throw something up that seems like it needs attention now. So the devil wants to get you off your game. He knows what worked on you in the past. He ain't too bad of a guy just to tailor up a plan that he knows is going to work for you. So you wake up in the middle in the day and you have it in your mind that you're going to do well today. And you're not going to do this or that that you usually do, and you're going to be patient and kind and maybe even say a prayer to the Lord, "Lord, help me be patient." And then all of a sudden, the kids throw a fit. And you take care of that. And then they throw another fit, and you take care of that. And then another fit, and you take care of that. And all of a sudden, you're off your game. Didn't you just pray for patience? God gave you the opportunity to learn patience. But we didn't see what was coming, you see. We were surprised. We thought, oh, God will just shower us with patience and maybe give us a good day so we don't get impatient. No, we gave you an opportunity. Maybe when we have those arguments with each other in the body, maybe what God was really doing was giving you an opportunity to build another person up. And you missed the opportunity. Because maybe they're a little short with you because something else went on that day and they're really having a hard time. And they just need some encouragement. But we missed the boat. We didn't see it because we didn't slow down and say, okay, what's God trying to do here? What's my part to play in this? How can I be a benefit to God's kingdom? So, it's really important what we let into our mind, because the devil can throw greed at a person, he can throw lust at a person, he can throw selfishness at a person, anger at a person. These all can come into our mind. The hard one is, I think, kind of is anger sometimes, because it comes on so strong. And we don't really see it. Where like, maybe like, I'm just saying like a lust feeling or something, you can see it coming. Anger just seems to show up right there. Right? Some of these others we can see coming. But when I've worked with young men in the past, we'll just say with the issue of lust, I say, it's not when you see the girl jogging on the side of the road. That's not the problem. Because sometimes they feel bad that a thought entered their mind, right? And they're kicking themselves for ever thinking a thought that's not right. And I say, it's not when the thought enters your mind that you've done something wrong. It's in the next second after that. What do you do with the thought? I'm going to share a story with you. When I graduated, me and Jude Mendonca decided we wanted to move to the big city, and we headed out to Portland, Oregon. Jerry Hoffman was a preacher at that time. I think I've told you guys this before, in a suburb of Portland called Boring. So you can give him a hard time because it was the Boring Church of Christ. I just love this story because it shows the power of Christ. And then it will show us another important fact here. There was a man in that assembly that was dying of HIV. That had came to Christ. And he took us out to lunch with one of those people that are not here anymore, that used to be strong in Oregon, and sat us down, and he found it important to tell us as young men. He said, I spent over 25 years in a sinful way, all because I dwelled on one thought a little too long, and it turned into a lifestyle. So for those that are not putting the pieces together, he died. He was in a homosexual lifestyle. He came to Christ, and he died of a disease from that lifestyle, but in Christ. But he painted a beautiful picture for me to take with through life, that God can restore anybody. Nobody's too lost. And don't dwell on the wrong thought too long, because the devil's drug, right? LSD, lust, sin, death. If we think on it too long, it will become a sin. And I've realized it in myself, and I'll say it to you, that selfishness is sin. Remember, we said that in all evil is rooted selfishness. Selfishness leads to sin. Doesn't mean you can't ever do something for yourself. Don't take me wrong there. You can. But you check your heart when you do it. And if you hurt anybody in the process, if you tear anybody down in the process, you didn't approach it the right way. Second Corinthians chapter 10 would back me up when I say, take every thought captive. And I said that anger pops up in front of you so quickly that it's hard to grasp sometimes. But I've been working on myself, because that's sometimes is one of my downfalls, is to get maybe just a little upset a little too quick, is to realize that it's a test. So maybe example, Emmett's not here tonight, he's feeling sick, so I didn't want to make him feel bad, but I can use this example now. Is the other night we were doing a reading page, and my boy has a hard time like just sitting still and concentrating. And so it was taking 15 minutes to read a page. And he wasn't applying himself as good as he could. And I could have bent him into submission, and don't get me wrong, I'm not going to let the child continue in sin that grace may increase. But, kids don't sin, excuse me, but continue to misbehave that grace may increase. And, but about 5 minutes into that, I checked myself and I said, for me, this is a test. How patient can I be with him? How much can I work this through with him? Because I want him to continue to read to me. So I'm going to be his teacher this year. Like, I got to work through this with him and make it fun for him. And we'll get to where we read that page quicker. and he'll put more effort into it. But me blowing up in him that time wouldn't have gained any ground. You see? And so, but what I want to highlight here is that we need to check ourselves to make sure that our approach is in line with what we expect of the other person. You see? Because he was getting a little upset with me. If I, in turn, get upset with him, what ground have I gained or what picture have I painted? So, maybe not always the way I'll handle that situation, because there are, I mean, we do need obedience from our children, but what I'm saying is I was putting a test on myself because I knew there was an issue I needed to deal with. So I was going to deal with that first, and then we did get the result. It just took some time. But you see, I was having the conversation with Emily after that took place. Is you see why that is important? Because why would I get angry in that situation? Selfishness. He was taking too much of my time, right? That's the reason I would be angry in that situation. Because he's not doing what I wanted. Now, there is a point where he needs to apply himself. But for you, of those that played sports, did it work when the coach belittled you? Or did he give you some time to grow? He gave you some growth, right? You didn't start doing exactly what the coach wanted the minute he told you. It took practice. You see, are we willing to let each other grow? And are we willing to be strong for them if they're not quite there yet? I'll wrap it up here. But when we're in a situation where we're having a disagreement with somebody, really what the disagreement is we want to win. We want to take control. We don't agree with their decision. But you see, if that's happening in the body with somebody, we have to ask, okay, what's their position? Okay, who's God? And if it's somebody that God has put in a position, then we have to say, do I trust God? Because see, sometimes my kids don't understand why I'm making a decision. But God has put me as their father. And I say, I understand you don't agree with me right now, but you're going to have to trust me on this one. And our Heavenly Father says that to us when people are put in a position of leadership. I mean, I'll be honest. I'll be completely honest. I haven't always 100% agreed with Nolan. And I've worked this through in my head. God put him in a position. Do I trust God? I do. So I hold my feelings back, and you know what? It works out. Because God knows best. And when we came to Christ, isn't that the confession that we made? That Jesus is Lord? So what do? Submit to his leadership. We fall in line when we're not the ones asked to lead. Now, sometimes we are. Sometimes we are the ones that are supposed to be leading the show, and so we should lead in love. But if we're not, then we fall in line. And if we have a question, we ask it in love and say, please explain this to me. I don't understand. Me and Emily got to go out on a date night the other night, and we found a good place. If you guys want some pizza, there's a place called Mad Pizza. It's really good. But they have these writings all over the wall, and in the restroom they have a lot of them. You can spend hours in there. I like to read quotes. And one of them says, everybody wants to change the world, but nobody wants to put the toilet seat down. The change starts with you. Know what I did when I left the bathroom? Put the toilet seat down. But we need to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, that He can make the right decision. And that we can be that part that helps the body move forward. And that we don't do the tearing down. Because we are all stones placed in the body, right? And we build up the temple of God. We are all His body, all His building. And you know what we're doing? If we are slandering anyone in the body of Christ, you're taking a sledgehammer to the temple of God. And I know each and every one of us truly want to be builders. But sometimes we just let those bad habits that maybe even were taught to us get in the way. I shared some of mine tonight. But the important thing is that we let God lead. And if we are honest with ourselves, okay, I need to pick up some slack here. Because God is all powerful, right? But in your relationship with Him, He's not willing to do all the work. Like I said, some have fallen away. If you're not willing to do your part, He'll leave you in the dust. Right? Some were handed over to Satan so that maybe they would have a chance to return. But we don't have to go that far. We can walk in unison with God. I know you guys will, because you're a great people and you've helped me do that. Let's be a team. And let's build up the temple of God.